Now, the first ever liver transplant in South Dakota was performed in January at the Avera Transplant Institute. Joining us now is Avera Medical Group transplant surgeon, Dr. Jeffrey Steers. Dr. Steers, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you, Laurie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about the impact of, or the potential impact of, having a transplant institute within the state. What does that mean for patients?
Well, for patients who suffer from end-stage liver disease in the area, it minimizes the distance they'll have to go for the transplant, plus the ongoing care. Patients who have liver transplants or other solid organ transplants require sometimes fairly frequent outpatient visits. Most of them do quite well, but occasionally they need ongoing care, and it will just make it easier for them to obtain that care here at home. Also, there's a tremendous financial burden for some patients to travel great distances and spend weeks in a hotel waiting for an organ to become available. Some patients wait months, and that can create a tremendous financial strain for patients as well.
Now, in the feature we just heard, the lady who's celebrating her 5-year anniversary mentioned the moment that she was told that the liver was waiting for her. And I'm just wondering, do you get to be the one to give that news to people? And how do they respond when they find out it's finally available?
Well, I do most of the time. In fact, the person that you interviewed, I'm the one who whispered into her ear that there was a donor.
I did not know that.
Yes, I did her transplant in Milwaukee 5 years ago.
And she still remembers that moment. You remember it, too.
I do. And most of the time, those are the moments that you remember the most. When patients get the news, and then when they're going home, and then generally a year or two later when you see them in the hallway and they're living a normal life. Those are all the memorable moments, but they also kind of black out all the sometimes challenging times that you have and trying to get them to that point. The worst of all, of course, is having to look a patient in the eyes every day and say, we don't have a liver. And those are just as painful. So it's really a blessing when you do get to deliver the good news.
What's it like to hear her voice 5 years later and find out the impact of this, not only on her physical life, but on her sort of emotional and spiritual life as well?
Well, it's tremendously rewarding. That's what makes this job worth it and makes the difficult times much easier to bear. There's patients that I've run into here in South Dakota, that one of which I transplanted when she was a baby, 6 months old. Another one I transplanted when she was 30 days old, and now she's 21. So those kind of things are just make it all worthwhile.
How complex is the procedure of transplanting a human liver compared to other surgeries?
Over the last, since Dr. Starzl kind of invented the procedure, or did invent the procedure a number of years ago, it has evolved. And I think the procedure now is relatively straightforward, and there are some very critical times during the procedure. But it has become more or less routine for centers that do them. I think the greatest challenge is the team that's required to make it happen. You have to have a team that can procure organs, travel sometimes day and night to go out and procure the organ and bring it back. You have to have an entire operating room team that's ready at 24 hours a day with anesthesia and nursing and staff in the operating room. And then critical care, and that's just all in the first 24 hours. So really the greatest challenge is not the surgery. I tell patients I'm more or less the plumber, because it's the rest of the things that require that are required to have a successful outcome. Those are the greater part of the picture.
So highly
Surgery is pretty routine at this point.
Highly time sensitive then. How much time do you have once you find out a donor has made an organ available?
To remove the organ and then get it back in, we try to get it in within 12 hours. That's
wow.
Kind of the magic number. But sometimes this process may take from start to finish 24 to 36 hours from the time we send a team out to procure it. Then sometimes there's delays at the donor hospital for a number of different reasons. It may take hours to get it out to remove the liver, because in some donors, when the heart and lungs and liver and kidney and pancreas and small intestine are all procured, that just process alone can take hours. And then now the latest thing is vascularized composite allografts, which are face transplants and limb transplants, and those can take 12 hours. So the one thing you have to learn in transplant is you don't have any control over much of anything.
Wow. So how did you end up in this area of practice then? What's your background and what was sort of your journey to come here? It sounds, you know, high pressure, stressful, very intense.
Well, my introduction to transplant was in medical school and early residency. At the time, there was really one transplant program in the United States that took care of patients. When I was an intern, the very first year of training, we sent a young girl with acute liver failure to Pittsburgh and had a liver transplant. And every patient I'd taken care of before that point with liver failure died, and she came back a healthy young girl. I had another patient that I personally took care of for years and admitted him countless times. And I took care of, along with the other physicians, the best we could, but it was biding time, and he looked sicker and sicker every time I saw him. He ended up going to Nebraska several years later after Nebraska opened their program, and I ran into him in the hallway a year later after his transplant, and I didn't recognize him. And I had seen him probably 40 times before that. And it's so those things are, you realize you're making a difference in people's lives that you can't make any other way.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Steers. He's a transplant surgeon with the Avera Transplant Institute. And Dr. Steers, I'm wondering, how long is the waiting list if someone is in liver failure, and how do you sort of prioritize who's at the front of the line?
Well, the allocation system is very complicated. It's weighted now. It's designed to get livers to the patients who are the most sick, those who are going to die within the shortest period of time. There is no such thing as a perfect system because there are still patients who we can't get a liver when we really need one. And the unfortunate thing is some patients are doing reasonably well for quite some time, and then they can suddenly decompensate, and then we can't get a liver for them in time. So the waiting time varies depending on how sick patients are. For the sickest patients, the ones that have what we call acute liver failure, those generally can be transplanted within a few days to a week or so. But for those patients with chronic liver disease, which means that they've had the problem for years, if they suddenly get sick, they may not have enough time to get a liver, and that's the worst challenge.
What are your hopes for the Avera Transplant Institute program and liver transplants in the state? Are there, you know, do we have a longer waiting list than other states? Is there some sort of, you know, how many of these can you do per month?
Well, the number we can do depends on the number of donors, and that fluctuates to some degree from week to week and month to month. Our patients in South Dakota wait about the same amount of time that patients who do in the other regional programs, given the University of Minnesota and the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Those are the other local, what we call local transplant programs, because we share the same local donor pool. So our waiting times are, in essence, the same. Our primary goal is to be able to provide life-saving treatment for patients who may not get it elsewhere, and that's what we've seen over, you know, the last 5 or 6 years in terms of transplant hepatology, taking care of patients with chronic liver disease, and that's the contribution we're trying to make for those patients.
Can anyone be a donor? Jim Kent in his feature said it's as easy as checking the box on your driver's license. What do we need to know about that?
It is as easy as checking the box on your driver's license. I think most people are willing to be donors. Some aren't. But if you've checked the box on your driver's license, it makes the decision for your family a lot easier. And there are some family members who are unsure, but when they see that their loved one did actually verify their desire to be a donor, it makes that decision much easier. Anyone can be a donor. There are some medical conditions that patients can have that would keep them from being able to donate certain organs, but there's also tissue donation and other tissues that can be donated even when you can't donate a liver or a lung or a heart. So as a general rule, if you're willing to help, there's almost always some way where you can help in that process.
Avera Transplant Institute, we've been talking with Dr. Jeffrey Steers. He's a transplant surgeon, and we heard from one of his patients who has celebrated her 5-year anniversary. So, Dr. Steers, I hope you get to whisper in many more people's ears that the news is good and then make it happen. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Laura. I look forward to telling all those patients the good news.